We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your teams, your station. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
McPherson on the fan inside the 1 o'clock hour, my last hour tonight and for this week. Call me up 877-337-6666. I've laid out a bunch of different topics, a bunch of different stories, and this one I wasn't sure whether I was going to bring up or not, but I think it's important to bring up. I do bring a lot of things from the internet to the radio. I just think that's the way. I think as we move into the future, more and more radio hosts should be on Twitter, anywhere, you know, that you get your news from, Google News, articles, and bringing things to the airwaves. And, you know, I said this morning I woke up and I saw Joey Gallo's, you know, comments from L.A. with the Dodgers, and I felt like he was trolling. And in my first tweet I put out this morning, I was like, it was clear that he was trolling. I said, dude is clearly trolling the fan base with his post-game comments. Too easy. This will go on forever. Gotta stop acting like a couple idiots represent everyone. No one person or message makes us all look bad. Looks bad that we bring so much attention to the negative. Enjoy the off day. Now, that was combined with two things, right? There was also some nonsense that went on with IKF. And I'm not going to get too deep into it because we can't even, like, validate all of it. But, you know, with Yankees fans and the internet, it's toxic. You know, it's one thing in the stadium to be booing. It's another thing in the stadium to be throwing things on the field. And that stuff makes the Yankees fans look bad, right? Every year, even last year when Yankees fans threw baseballs onto the field. And then this year we saw the beer cans with the Cleveland Guardians. But this thing with IKF turned into, like, you know, someone messaging his dad and screenshotting the message and then putting it on Twitter. And then someone that people think is his dad responding on Twitter, and we're not sure if we can verify whether it's the actual account of his dad or not, but it's just gone to a level where it doesn't look good. It's stupid. The Yankees are losing games, and all the talk every day is about how bad the fan base is, how disgusting the fan base is. It's like one thing leads to another, and it starts to snowball. But what I'll say is this, like, there's a lot of anonymous nerds, a lot of losers online that don't show their face, don't show their names, and they're a little bold. And also, there's a lot of children, like young people online that, like, get a kick out of sending stupid messages and hiding behind an account where no one will ever figure out who they are, no one will find them. But if that's you, if you're that type of fan that feels like you have to send messages to players or players' family members, like, please don't. Please relax. It is just a game. It is entertainment. It is baseball. And there's a line, right? You criticize someone's play on the field, you have the right to do that as a fan. But then when it goes to the level that it's gone now with IKF and even with Joey Gallo, some of the stuff that people said, and now you've got Joey Gallo out west trolling the fan base talking about, oh, yeah, it's been a long time since I heard people actually cheer for me. That's a lie. And then, you know, talking about the facial hair policy. It doesn't help. It doesn't help when the team is losing like this to have the fan base taking L's as well. So some people got to chill out. All right, let's move on. Let's get back to the phones. Let's talk more Yankees. And the Yankees will face the Red Sox in game one coming up real soon in Fenway. Nick is in Westchester on the fan. You got it, Nick.
Keith, I think I called you a while back because I say the same thing. I'm 78, old school, a Yankee fan since 1952 when my parents bought a television.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why the anti-Yankee fans hate the Yankee fans, because I'm starting to hate them too. They're all calling, comparing, they've been comparing this team prior to their recent collapse to 98, to 96. This team cannot carry the jockstraps of any of those championship teams.
Right.
The old ones back in the 60s when I was there, in the 50s, the five World Series they won in the 50s, prior to that in the 20s and 30s, and then 96, 98, 99, 2000. Remember, 96 should be a good example for the Yankee fans regarding clutch hitting. Remember, they were down 2-0, if you go back that far, to 96, to the Braves, and it looked hopeless going back to Atlanta with Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz.
Yep.
The three best pitchers in baseball at that time, and the Yankees won because they were clutch hitting when they needed to. They got the pitching they needed to. And then if you notice that in that the 90s group, so far, the only two that went to the Hall of Fame is Mariano and Derek Jeter. Now, maybe Pettit, Posada, they're all up borderline. That's the only two. And they're raving about these guys. I said it for weeks now. I called other stations. I even got the Mad Dog on one of the stations that they don't have clutch hitting. Now, you saw the All-Star game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that game was 3-2. You had every big thumper on the American League and National League. Stanton hit the home run, as you know, and was the MVP. The pitching shut it down.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I know he seems to be a friend of yours. I don't like to criticize guys individually that Jimmy that called. To say you want to play in Houston is crazy. That's just crazy. With the excitement
confident.
Of Yankee Stadium,
it's a bold take. I don't want that. I was like, Jimmy, I don't want to play there. That's a house of horrors. Minute Maid Park. I do not want to go there.
Yeah, you want to play at your home because there's nothing like Yankee Stadium. So these Yankee fans have to wake up. And I called other shows when I could, and I said, when and if they win the World Series this year, then you can put them up there with the other teams. Remember, there was one year where Seattle, right after the Yankees won 114, they won 116 games and didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, and I mean,
so to
add to what you're
saying, games that they're winning, their record now, they're just about tied with Houston.
Yeah, I think Houston is ahead now because they won tonight and the Yankees didn't play tonight. So Houston has the number one seed in the AL.
I just wanted to get that out so you can get these young fans, you know, they got to start learning the history of the years that the Yankees won, the teams that played. These were great teams. Just think, I've seen every World Series since 1952, 8 years old.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Nick. To add to what Nick was saying, right, I think someone was telling me, and I think Jimmy just said it, but someone also said this to me online. They're like, in 2000, the same thing happened. I'm trying to find the tweet, but they're like, in 2000, the same thing happened. They lost, blah, 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 blah. And what happened that year? They won the World Series. I need every Yankees fan, every historian, every person that likes to dig back into these Yankees seasons where they won and try and draw parallels to stop, full stop. You know why they were able to figure it out in 2000 and win? Because that group of guys had already won four times. That was their four. That they had already won three times. That was their fourth World Series. They won in 96, 98, 99, and 2000. They knew what to do in October. When you get in October, experience matters. It's a different terrain. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different level of baseball. And those guys had a chip on their shoulder each way because the baseball world was saying they were getting older. They didn't have it anymore. The dynasty was done. And they were trying to three-peat. So, yeah, they turned it on. What do these Yankees have to draw from? They have a couple guys that have won World Series. Yeah, Andrew Benintendi, Aroldis Chapman, and Anthony Rizzo. But those were with completely different teams, and they were years ago. I'm tired of seeing all of these parallels to 98. And now that the Yankees are losing, going back to other seasons where they had bad stretches, but then figured it out. It's not that simple. It's not that simple. Just like the last caller was saying, they don't have clutch hitting. And even with the All-Star game, I was at the All-Star game and I had a blast. And the day after the All-Star game, I called in to 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco to be a guest on their show because they were all drooling over the fact that Aaron Judge was talking about growing up in California and being a Giants fan. And they wanted to talk about that. But we talked about the game. And I said, I thought it was the best All-Star game ever. Not necessarily the game, but the festivities, the host city, and all of the stuff that came about. And even Giancarlo Stanton winning it and being the MVP in the stadium that he grew up going to as a kid. But then the host on 95-7 game said that was the worst game. It was a 3-2. Nobody could get a hit. No clutch hitting. It was all home run or nothing. And it was the pitching dominated. And I think that's just exactly how the game is now. And I'm like, you're right about that. I was happy that the American League won and that Giancarlo won the MVP as a Yankee coming back home. Great story. But when you look at that game, it's like him and Byron Buxton hit the home runs to win in a 3-2 game. And there's so many games like that where teams are living and dying by the home run. And the pitching is so dominant. You've got all of these guys that can throw 97, 98, 99. Some of these guys touching 102. What do you expect? But yeah, with this Yankees team, we cannot expect them to just turn it on. I'm sorry to be the guy to give you a dose of reality, but like these guys have nothing to draw from. They have some postseason experience, but it's not like they can get into October and turn it on and say, yeah, we've done this before. We've been here before. We know what to do now. They're still searching. Fallon is in Rockland County on the fam. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Thanks for calling up.
Yeah, I just had something to say about Kevin Durant. The Nets gave him all this money, and he is just proving why he just has a terrible attitude. I think the Nets need to trade him to the West, preferably the Rockets, because, you know, no one wants him.
Yeah, already did a deal with them. They're probably out. I don't know who's going to want to deal with the Nets at this point. And I don't know who the Nets want to deal with. I think they want to force KD to play, but I'm with you, bro. You know, like, it's such a bad example for kids that are watching that don't know, like, okay, team sports. Like, yes, Durant is a businessman. Yes, he feels like his legacy is intact. He's won MVPs. He's won championships. But, man, the, like, team hopping and ducking the smoke and, like, as a Net, it's like, bro, you want your last moments as a Brooklyn Net to be you getting swept out of the first round by the Celtics? That's no way to go out. But I guess if you take the approach that KD has, it's like, I don't care. You know, I don't want to be here anymore. I can force my way out because I am the best player on the team and you didn't do exactly what I say. So now I don't want to be here anymore and I'm just going to force my way out. I think it's madness. Like I said, that this guy signed the extension knowing who the coach was, knowing who the GM was, and they got that coach for you. Yeah, the GM hired his friend, and, you know, they did that because they thought that you had a relationship with him being with the Warriors. I don't know. This whole thing is blown up in the Brooklyn Nets' face, and it sucks, not even for the Brooklyn Nets, but for the Nets fans. Like, Nets fans are the ones that have to read this stuff and have to worry about this stuff and don't know what is going to happen going into next season. And it's like this whole KD, Kyrie, 7-Eleven era, it was a terrible mistake. It blew up in our faces, and it's like, where do we go from here?
Yeah, if the Nets want to trade KD, I think they would have to get, like, picks. Heck ton of picks.
Picks. Because, like, at this point, right, we're going to need some star players, a package of, like, at least two star players that can start, that can play. And the Nets roster, this is actually the best Nets roster since the KD Kyrie era started. But they don't care about playing for the Nets. It's too far gone. I hate that. I hate when business gets to the point where it's personal. I feel like it's personal now. It's not business. Like, they just don't like, you know, I think Kevin Durant just doesn't like Sean Marks or Nash and doesn't want to be here, whatever. But if you can't get a trade for Kevin Durant, you can't trade him for pennies on the dollar. You can't trade the best player in the world and not get a massive return. And who knows? We'll see how this thing plays out. But I don't think there's a team out there willing to give up the amount of players and picks, because those teams that have the players and picks are ready to win now. And the teams that don't, like, they don't, the teams that aren't ready to win, they don't have it. I haven't been able to think of a trade partner. And the partners that have been suggested, you don't want to trade them to the Heat or the Celtics or the Sixers, because then you got to face them. And you want to trade them to the West, but there's not that many teams in the West that can actually bid for them. It's a trash situation to be in as a fan or as a GM. Like, Sean Marks, I do not envy his position, right? You did everything to bring KD over here. And Nets fans felt like, wow, Kevin Durant chose us. Complete 360.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. I have the virus right now, and I'm just waiting for you at night for the show. It really is getting me through. I just want to say thank you.
Bro, feel better. Rest up. And I'm glad I could be here as a source of entertainment for you while you're sick. We've all been there. Get right. And thank you for calling up and being a part of the show.
No problem. Thank you.
Get your rest, man. That's crazy. I mean, I'm glad that I can, you know, talk sports and host a show and make a young guy feel better. But we all know what that's like. It sucks to be sick in the summer, especially when you're a young kid, right? These kids got to go back to school soon. It's like, man, if you get sick and then you miss a weekend, it's terrible. It's the worst. But at least you got WFAN and you can call up and get your takes off, get your thoughts in, and talk to me and be a part of the show. So that was cool. Thanks for the call, Fallon. Unfortunate that, you know, we got to talk about Kevin Durant and the Nets this way, but that'll all play out in the next couple months. There is a chance that it plays out into the season. I don't know. I want them to call his bluff, because I've said, oh, Kevin Durant is a pure hooper. He's not going to sit out games. He's 34 years old. He's in his prime. He's not going to sit out any games, but maybe he will, right? He asked for the trade on June 30th, and then this past week, he doubled down on it after a meeting with the Nets governor, the Nets owner, Joe Tsai, who, that's another guy I just think, like, this guy doesn't have a clue. He's in over his head, went the superstar route, blew up in his face, now doesn't know how to handle the superstar exit, where the superstar is not cooperating. Like, they're superstars. It's a superstar-driven league. This whole player empowerment thing is nuts. It's like, these billionaires do not want millionaires checking them and telling them what to do or not do. He's a billionaire, and he's looking at KD like, you signed a 4-year contract extension. And a story just came out that, like, they had to cut him a big check. KD collected a big check, and then he asked for the trade. And it's like, come on, dude. There's no loyalty in any of this. I don't know. When I was younger watching the NBA, it seemed like these guys just played for their teams in one jersey. They did not want to team up. They weren't making even close to the money that these guys are making now. And the NBA used to just seem like, hey, these guys are going out there trying to kill every night, trying to win every night for their team, for their city. And there's, like, loyalty behind that. There is no loyalty in it now. It's all business. It's all about your own brand. It's all about teaming up and playing with guys you want to play with. And the first sign of, oh, I don't like something you did, or I don't like something you said, I'm out. I'm forcing my way out. I don't want to be here. And you just see it every single year. It's the norm. And that's a huge knock on the NBA. I love basketball. I love watching the NBA. I can't wait for the NBA to start up again. I love going home and watching League Pass and watching the highlights on YouTube and, you know, seeing who really got off one night or who cooked who. And the NBA is great, but the phase of the NBA that we're in now, and I don't even think it's a phase. I don't think we're ever going back. But the state of the NBA we're in now, where these guys are on different teams, these superstars are on different teams every couple years, and they force their way out of situations and they leave fan bases and they leave people that have rooted for the same team hating them. They're like, it just like creates all this animosity. It's not great. It's not good for the sport. Let's go out to Iowa and talk to Phil. Phil, were you at Field of Dreams? You weren't at the Field of Dreams game, right?
No, I was at the Field of Dreams game. Yes, I was.
Wow.
Left field.
Awesome. How was it? I mean, it looked amazing. It looked better this year than last year.
Well, I disagree with that because my Yankees were in there last year.
Did you go last year, too?
Game. No, I didn't. That's why I went this year. It's actually, last year's game was pretty annoying because you get walked off by Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. But that game was
and better. Andrew Heaney started that game. Never forget, the Yankees chose to start Andrew Heaney in the only Field of Dreams game they may ever play.
Yeah. Well, he's doing pretty decent, I think, right now with the Dodgers.
He's doing great with the Dodgers. I'm glad you brought that up as we're talking about Joey Gallo. They were able to get him right.
Yeah, you know what? Joey Gallo never belonged in New York. It was the most obvious thing. But either way, it was a very good experience. They did a really, really nice job. I mean, the game itself, was not as intense. You could tell some of the players were just like, making easy catches, but with like extra
yeah,
stick.
Neither one of those teams are good. I think the first inning was the most exciting. It went like the Cubs went up 3-0. And then they were able to tack on one more run, and the Reds tried to come back a little bit late. But all in all, that's about the pageantry, right? That's about the, activation.
I was actually surprised that they didn't start Fernando Reyes, who's a home run guy, in a place where everyone's just looking for that home run into the cornfield.
Phil, your phone is breaking up. I got to let you go. It just doesn't sound great. Sorry to cut the phone on you. Definitely wanted to talk to a guy in Iowa that was out in Dyersville at the Field of Dreams game. I love these activations. I went to the London Series. That was my favorite baseball trip ever. And if you hear people in the media, like a couple nights ago, Ryan Rucco was talking to Meredith about going to London for the London Series. And I think it came up because they were talking about, the All-Star game and, the different games in different countries. They're trying to do a game in France and Tokyo, and they've had games in Australia, and I think they're trying to do another game in like Germany. The Cubs just did Field of Dreams, and now the Cubs are in line to do the London series next year. Cubs, Cardinals, no lie, I'm looking at going. Like, it was so much fun to see the Yankees, Red Sox out there. I'll probably go back to see Cubs, Cardinals, and baseball crushes it with these little activations. It's how they grow the game. It makes the game look cool. It's a different way of seeing baseball. And I thought Field of Dreams was awesome. I didn't go out there, but I just thought the concept and the idea was awesome. I never was even into the movie. I watched the movie last year before the game so I could at least like know more about it. It was funny watching CeCe and Tim Anderson. They're like, black people don't watch Field of Dreams. Black people don't watch that. I'm like, yeah, like I didn't grow up in a baseball household. Like I didn't grow up with anyone telling me to watch baseball. Like I did that on my own. And movie-wise, like I definitely never watched Field of Dreams. I watched Field of Dreams last year for the first time at age 33 before the game. And that just made it, more special. I'm like, oh, okay, I understand. I get now why so many people like this movie and why this is a big deal. And then to see them run it back with the Cubs and the Reds, I love the throwback jerseys. I loved how everybody was out there with the like the James Earl Jones suspenders and the top hats and even the like medical staff. If you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. In the dugout, the medical staff played along and they got dressed like it was 1920 as well. So I love that Major League Baseball can do that. They can turn back the clock. They can set up a throwback game like that for everyone to see, and I applaud them. I think Major League Baseball is doing what they got to do. They're trending in the right direction. For all the talk about baseball dying, baseball being dead, I think they're doing their thing. Jack is in Belmore. What's up? You're on the Fan.
Jack. How are we doing, man?
There he is. What's up, Jack?
I listen to your stuff every night, late night. It's great. Love all your baseball rants. I think they're all hilarious. I think they're all really good points. I just wanted one opinion. I'm a Yankee fan, but I've been watching the Mets a lot. And you talk about that 1-2 punch with DeGrom and Scherzer. And what if there's one team that can stop that, who is the team and why?
I don't think there's a team that can stop Max Scherzer or Jacob DeGrom, but if I had to suggest one, it'd be the Dodgers, just because I think they have the lineup that can potentially hit them and the pitching that could potentially match them. And the Dodgers just have been there every year, and I think we're headed for a collision course where it's Dodgers-Mets, and it's a Dodgers team that is very good and has a collection of talent, but they've never had to do it on the main stage. And then you'll have the Dodgers team with a new collection of talent, right? They've got a bunch of new guys this year, but yeah, they're added to guys that did win a World Series in 2020, and they're used to going to the World Series NLCS every year. And it's just going to be mano a mano, line them up and see who comes out on top. I don't know. I'm rooting for the Mets to get there, but everybody knows the Dodgers are who stands in their way.
Yeah, I've just been watching them. It's just like, you know, like I feel like the whole year, like with DeGrom, they kind of like, you know, like hoping he comes back, treading water.
And he comes back and he looks like DeGrom. That's the first thing I said. I'm like, this guy, like, for all the talk about DeGrom, he's injury prone. He hasn't pitched in a year. He's having too many rehab starts. He comes back and he looks like DeGrom on the road. And then his first appearance in Citi Field, he's throwing a perfect game. I'm like, this guy is ridiculous.
Yep, I was there. It was unbelievable. It's crazy.
So, yeah, like I said, they're on a collision course. It's Dodgers, Mets in the NLCS. We hope. And if the question is who can line up and challenge Scherzer and DeGrom, I don't know, Tony Gosselin, Julio Urias, I won't say Clayton Kershaw, Max, Walker Buehler is hurt.
Kershaw is, yeah. No,
I don't think they're, you know, even though we were talking about Andrew Heaney, I don't think they're going to be relying on Andrew Heaney in game one or two.
No, that's what I'm saying. I just don't see any other team with this type of rotation. It's not even about just DeGrom and Scherzer. It's like Chris Bassett was the Oakland Athletics ace last year.
That's what I'm saying.
And then he got Cookie Carrasco, who's been
last
an accomplished
night
veteran for years.
Last night I broke it down because it's simple. It's easy to see. When you look for the components of a team that can win in October, you start with their rotation. Who's their aces? Who are they rolling out? And even when you go past Scherzer and DeGrom, it's like, okay, Chris Bassett, Taijuan Walker, even Cookie Carrasco as a vet. Like, they have five starters that arguably could start a postseason game and get you a win. And then when you look at them defensively behind those starters, they play shutdown defense, lockdown defense. Lindor is short. Their outfielders are on everything. Nimmo doesn't let anything go anywhere by him. Marte is there gunning people down. It doesn't matter if it's McNeil or Canna or Naquin in left. Like, they have it under wraps. I can't talk about the Mets defense without talking about Luis Guillerme. Like, where did this guy come from? Like, he can play whatever position they put him at in the infield, and they're talking about him getting a gold glove. Pete Alonso, some people try to knock his defense at first, but he's obviously been solid. He's obviously been solid. You can't knock Pete Alonso's year at all. And then, okay, I just talked about their starting pitching, their defense, their bullpen. The questions around their bullpen, I think Buck has those answered, and I think their starters give them 6-7 innings where, worst comes to worst, you bring in Edwin Diaz for the 8th and 9th. They have the best closer in the league. Then when you look at their lineup, they have the same lineup every night, right? And you know you can depend on those guys every night. And they all hit. They put up 10, 11, 12, 13 hits. And now their new trade deadline acquisitions are adding the long ball, Vogelbach, Naquin, Ruff. It's a platoon set up with these guys. They can match up against any pitchers. Buck Showalter is the ultimate advantage. Like, it's all lining up for the Mets to actually be able to get to the World Series this year. It's going to be Mets-Dodgers, and that's the series I want to watch. I don't want to watch Mets-Padres or Brewers or Cardinals. We want to see the Dodgers and the Mets. It's not going to be the Braves this year either. It's Dodgers-Mets. Collision course.
Yep. When that stuff with the DH, when they tried to upgrade, I was so, like, I don't know. I guess I was just underwhelmed when it first happened. Because you look at a guy like Darren Ruff, like...
Yeah. You know what it is? Like, and it's the setup. And I talked about this around the deadline. Like, we're fans. So fans are thinking, they got to get J.D. Martinez or they got to get Trey Mancini.
They got to make the big move.
Because those are names that everybody knows. Those are big names, proven guys. When I saw the Vogelbach move early, like the Vogelbach move was like a week before the deadline, I was like, yeah. Oh, sneaky move. Like this dude, I think he hit a home run against the Yankees as a Pirate not long before that. I'm like, oh, this is a sneaky move.
Yeah, 2 weeks before that or something.
Yep. So I'm like, you add that guy, then not long after that, they also add Naquin and then Ruff. And what it is like, it's to me a massive upgrade over JD Davis and Dom Smith.
Exactly what it is.
So it might not be JD Martinez or Trey Mancini, but Billy Epler knows what he's doing, and he knows what bats he had to go get for this lineup, depending on what pitching they face, and it's come together right away. You talk about like Benintendi when the move got done for Benintendi, it took him a couple series before he had an extra base hit. I feel like for the Mets, their guys came in like. Naquin's debut in Citi Field, ridiculous. Vogelbach has quickly become a fan favorite. That is, you got to tip your cap to Billy Epler. That is, good scouting and going to look at guys and figuring out what you have. And I don't know, they've got a good formula down. I can't hate on it.
Yeah, it's good scouting, and it's a good way of just showing that you sometimes don't need to go after the big fish to succeed, and that there's other players out there that did it. They didn't have to give up any of their big prospects, like Bonifacio, Beatty.
That too. They didn't get fleeced.
Alvarez.
And you could tell Epler was, in his first trade deadline, he was aware of that, right? Like, it was all about what the price was. He wasn't going to give up some of their future players because they're trying to establish something. I said this a few nights ago about the Mets. I'm like, everything is turning up Mets, and it's not just a one-year thing. You can tell that Steve Cohen, Billy Epler, Buck Showalter, however long he's going to manage, they're trying to set this team up to be a perennial favorite, to have success every year, to be at the top of the league every year, and never go back to being bottom feeders.
Right now, it looks like it, man. They're on the right track.
Yeah, like I said, I can't hate on it. We're both Yankees fans, but I think if you're a baseball fan and you can take your Yankee cap off for a second, you realize Buck Showalter is the manager of the year, and Steve Cohen in his second year as owner of the Mets, what he has turned the Mets into. I was even throwing in the Tom Seaver statue, them retiring Keith Hernandez's jersey, the black jerseys on Fridays, the giveaways, right? The ladies' night they did last week. I'm like, these are all culture-changing things that have also bled into the field and how the team plays. It's different. These Mets are different. And whether you love them, hate them, or whatever, like we had a caller say, like the first night he heard me, he's like, oh, this guy hates the Mets. No, it's that when I came in, I had nothing to do with the Mets. I'm a Yankees fan. Growing up, I watched, I didn't watch SNY, right? This is my first 8 months being a radio host in New York. I'm not going to automatically come in and be like, well, to hell with my Yankee fandom. That's how I got here. But at the same time, I've watched more Mets baseball than I've ever watched this year, and I'm a baseball fan. I'm also on MLB Network, a nationally televised baseball show talking all teams. Yeah. So I can admit what I'm seeing, and it doesn't make me lose sleep at night. I'm not mad. I don't hate the Mets. I'm actually, very impressed that, they were able to do this quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interning with them right now, so I've just been around the stadium a lot, and I'm from Long Island, so I'm closer to Citi Field than I am to Yankee Stadium. I've grown up going to a bunch of Citi Field games with the Mets, and just been so used to seeing them be so disappointing. Like, oh, they're just gonna stink.
A long time. It's been a long time.
And I grew up seeing that, and now I'm working for them, and I see this. I'm talking to fans, and it's like, you're around this culture. Every time I go in there, it's just, you feel the buzz around the stadium. And it's it's a crazy thing to be
part of. What I was saying was everything, stay down till you come up. What goes around comes around. Everything is not, this is professional sports. Everything's not supposed to suck for decades, right? You're not supposed to be a miserable Mets fan for your entire life. This is a different regime. It's a different era. It's not the Wilpons anymore. Like, Steve Cohen came in, and, like, he changed so much so fast. You got to give this guy credit. The Old Timers Day game. Old Timers Day is coming back. They're going to actually play the game. I'm a Yankees fan. I've been to two Old Timers Day, and I was, like, excited for them to bring it back this year. Then when I found out they weren't playing, I had a side eye looking at them. I'm like, bro, what? It's a ceremony? You can't do that. And then everything turns Yankees versus Mets. And it's like, yo, in the year that the Mets are bringing back the Old Timers Day game and they have a great roster, I'll pull that up and I'll read through the Old Timers Day roster. But it's like for the Yankees to just opt out and be like, oh, yeah, we're just going to do a ceremony. I'm like, that's an L. You lose again.
It's crazy. I'm going to be there for Old Timers Day.
And if you're like, working there, I would assume. I mean, I'm thinking about going because I'm like, I think that's cool. That's something that not every baseball team can even do. Not every baseball team has.
The roster, it's the 65 alumni.
It's a ridiculous roster, actually. I'm pulling it up now because there are definitely some people out there that, you know, probably don't know. But it's like some of these names that they were able to put together, it's going to be a spectacle, man. It's going to be something that people in every corner of the sports world are like, wow, look at this.
It's crazy, man. It's unbelievable. Kudos to Mr. Cohen for pulling all this together.
Yeah, got to give it up to Stevie Cohen. Thanks for the call, Jack. I don't think there's one, you know, I don't think there's one Yankees fan, even if they want to lie, even if they want to, you know, keep the, you know, I hate the Mets. There's not one Yankees fan that can deny what has gone on here. Especially if you've paid attention over the last couple years and last decades, whatever. It's a complete change, a complete makeover, complete revamping of the organization, the culture, the things for the fans. It's a dream season for Mets fans. It's got nothing to do with me besides I'm on the fan and I talk about it. But me as a Yankees fan, like it's completely separate. I don't lose sleep over Mets fans enjoying themselves, having a good time. I've enjoyed myself a ton watching the Yankees. This is what it feels like. Welcome. Keith McPherson on the fan. I got to take a break. This is probably my last break. 877-337-6666. Get your last words in. I'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Have something to say? We'll answer the phone. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Keith McPherson on the Fan. This is the last 15 minutes I have of this show, and this week has been a fun week, another fun week. Appreciate everybody calling up and tuning in. I did a 6:30 to 9:30 show on Monday, a 6:30 to 9:30 show on Tuesday, a 8 to 1 o'clock show last night on Wednesday, something like that. Yeah, like 8 to 1. And then tonight was pretty much like 11:45 to 2. So I've been going to sleep at different times, waking up different times, but always an honor and a privilege to get to rock, man. Like, just to get to be on the mic and talk sports with different things going on, different stories going on. I don't take it for granted. I'm always excited to come to WFAN and talk to you guys and be here hosting my own show. It is a blast, and, you know, it's crazy because coming up in 13 days, it'll be a year since I had my audition, my first show, where I forget the caller's name. He's like, when I first heard this guy, I'm like, he hates the Mets. I'll wear that. You know, that's fine. I like, what I've learned is no matter what you say or do, people have their own perception of you. Not just me, like anyone in the media. It does not matter what you say or do, especially with social media. People are going to twist your words, come up with their own takes and narrative. Take from what you said and make it something else. And man, I love that. I appreciate it. Like, it was quiet for me, bro. I was unemployed. I was at home wishing that I could do stuff like this, like a few years back. It's been a interesting journey for me to get from, you know, where I grew up down in the Jersey Shore area to here. And then even being in the city from 2014 in the MLB Fan Cave, then, you know, working at MTV 2015, 16, 17, working at Fubo TV 17 and 18, working at Rock Nation in 18, and all of those jobs were social media manager, digital marketing manager jobs behind the scenes, you know, posting content, creating content, making videos, tweets, Instagram stuff, and then learning social media and just deciding, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't right for me. This isn't the trajectory that I want to be on. I just had this like feeling that I wanted to get back into sports. And I did that a little bit with the social media, but I wanted to get back in the sports kind of like I was in the Fan Cave in 2014. And I mean, nobody was checking for me then, but I took a risk and I figured it out and I did a couple things. And next thing you know, I got an opportunity almost a year ago, August 25th, 2021, to speak on WFAN, and the rest is history, man. I got to go find that video. I remember just walking out thinking like, man, that's a forever moment. I might never get to do that again, but I'll be able to tell my kids on August 25th, 2021, I hosted for 3 hours on WFAN. I had no idea. And like, I had no idea what the plan was. I had no idea, like, if I was going to be, like, a fill-in, a weekend, a late night. Who knows? But I feel blessed and thankful, and I appreciate you guys. I always make sure to say I appreciate you guys. Whether you rock with me, whether you don't rock with me, whether you call my show, don't call my show, whether you think I'm a Yankees homer and hate the Mets, like, that's all good. It's a free streaming radio program that you can tune into or tune out of at any time. And I think there's balance here. You know, someone said to me, they're like, yo, stay true to yourself and your Yankees culture and your Yankees fandom. There's Mets fans on WFAN talking about the Mets all day. And good. This is a time where you should be talking about the Mets all day. There should be constant talk about the Mets all day because they're good. They deserve it. And when the Yankees get back to their winning ways, I mean, people talk about the Yankees all day, every day anyway. But when the Yankees get back to their winning ways, we'll be talking about both in the same regard. So, all right, let's see. I think I have a couple calls. We'll try and hit these calls in the next 10 minutes, and we'll wrap up. I just was seeing two things. You know, the roster, I'm not going to run through because we have calls, but you guys know who's on this roster, man. Bartolo Colon, David Cone, Ron Darling, John Franco, Dwight Gooden, There's a bunch of guys coming back. Rico Bronya, shout out to the Rico Bronya podcast. If I'm reading this correctly, man, this Old Timers Day is going to be lit. The thing that I saw online that just rubbed me the wrong way, John Boy Media put it out, said Washington advances to the Little League World Series because the umpires say they called a ball fair even though it was a foul ball signaled. I told y'all, we're going to regret not having robo-umps. And now you just saw some little kids get eliminated from the Little League World Series. Some kids from Oregon are on their backs crying on the ground because these grown men can't do their jobs. Wait for it, folks. Something like this is going to happen in October in Major League Baseball, and people are going to lose their minds. Earl out in Jersey City, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, Keith. For first time, long time. Hey, I'm a Mets fan, and I see we got something special going on here. Everybody that comes to the team, they're taking pride and putting on a uniform.
Yeah.
And since we swept the Yankees, and, you know, you like shrugged it off like, you know, oh, little brothers, you believe that we serious this time? Or, you know, it was just the Yankees and, you know, was focused on beating them?
My take was never a knock on the Mets. My take was more so that the Yankees did not put their best foot forward, so I couldn't take them that seriously. The Mets outplayed, outmanaged the Yankees in both of those games. They very well might in Yankee Stadium as well. But for me as a Yankees fan, I just wasn't going to bend the knee over two games in July. But I never once during that time said, the Mets aren't good or they're not for real. All I was saying is, hey, if I'm watching the game, I'm at that first game at Citi Field, and they're putting Joey Gallo in late in the game for a meaningful at bat, I can't take you serious. Like, I couldn't take Aaron Boone and the Yankees serious. Oh, you're not trying to win these games. You're not trying to win these games. You pitched Jordan Montgomery and Domingo Herman after they got rocked in Houston, and then you traded Jordan Montgomery. I can't be that invested in those two losses. I got to move on. And now where we are moving on, it's been 2 weeks. The Yankees have lost a bunch of games after that, and the Mets have won a ton of games after that. They're the much better team.
Thanks, Keith. Like to hear that from you. Appreciate you.
Appreciate the call, Earl. I'm a real one. I'm going to keep it a buck. And, like, it's fun in the rivalry, right? You know, before we go to the next call, remember when it was Nets and Knicks, I got into that, too. I played into that, too. That it's fun. It's trash talk. It's a rivalry. This is New York. There's no better place for sports, for rivalry, for sports talk, for trash talk, taking a side. You know, I understand that they expect broadcasters and hosts to be neutral. Being neutral, like, how much fun is that? Like, pick a side and, like, you know, stand on it a little bit when it comes to rivalries. But then go back to your corner and give respect where, you know, respect is due. Mark is in Northport on the Fan. You got it.
Mr. McPherson, I just want to basically say I respect your work. I don't always agree with what you had to say. I like the way you stand your ground. And I wish you luck moving forward. I think you got a lot of talent, as do a lot of the special people, the special sports people at FAN. I called you roughly 2 months ago, and I hope I have the right person, because at that time, and I want to have a very cordial conversation with you, but I have a very strong opinion. Are you still, and I'm not accusing you of anything, are you still a Kyrie apologist?
I still rock with Kyrie. That's my guy. Jersey days, way before I knew he'd be a Net. But I'm not apologizing for anything that Kyrie did this past year. He's part of the reason that the Nets had the worst season in the offseason they had. But what's your gripe with Kyrie right now? His art pictures on Twitter.
Okay.
He posts too many pictures of Indians and tribes and sun and
moon. Listen, I love your sense of humor. Okay, here are the ramifications of Kyrie Irving, okay? And I'm 61 years old. I'm old enough to be your father. Durant wants out, okay? Now, let's be honest, okay? He doesn't want to be around this guy, okay? He's toxic. He is an extremely talented player. He seems like a very... I understand that he's got all these causes and stuff like that. There's no other star in basketball who figures they have to say, because of a social issue or because of something happened, I need to take time off during the basketball season, mind you, when I'm contending for a championship with Kevin Durant on my team, during the basketball season, I need to contemplate life, and I'm not going to basically do what I need to do to bring a championship team. I think he's immensely talented. I think he's a flawed individual. And I think the fact that there was no one in basketball, no other team in basketball that wanted him, that's why he opted into the deal again, because he is too toxic. And I'm sorry, the reason Durant wanted, listen, Durant is dead wrong on this. I swear to God, he is dead wrong on this. He should basically suck it up. And that situation is extremely dysfunctional in Brooklyn. Here's my point. He doesn't want to be around Kyrie Irving and his mechanical ways.
I hear you, Mark, but some people will say this. They'll say that KD's beef with the Nets started when they didn't give an extension to his boy Kyrie that he came to Brooklyn to play next to. We don't know. None of us know these guys. I just met KD for the first time. I'll probably meet Kyrie soon. I seen Kyrie at practice in the park, but I'll even when I meet these guys or I'm around them, I'll never get to know exactly what they're thinking. Thanks for the call, Mark, but like there's two schools of thought, right? KD's beef is with the organization. Why? Because they didn't give his man the max. They didn't run him the max. They didn't give him a max extension. And he opted into his current deal. I think they're actually besties. Like, KD and Kyrie are best friends. And even though Kyrie has been toxic and he's brought a lot of negative attention, they're millionaire basketball players. They're boys. Like, this isn't about KD versus Kyrie. I think KD wants to win, and I think he doesn't feel like he can win another championship in Brooklyn under this owner, this general manager, and this head coach. Joe is out in Rockland County, our last call of the night before I'm out of here. Joe, you got it.
Yeah, I want to speak about Kevin Durant's his legacy. Started with OKC. He kind of wanted to go out through there. He had a fight with Russell Westbrook over there. Then he went to the Warriors, had a fight with Draymond Green. It looks like he's getting in a fight with Brooklyn. It just looks like there's a fight everywhere. His jersey won't be retired in Brooklyn, probably not in Golden State, maybe in OKC. His legacy got totally ruined. If you look at like LeBron's legacy versus him, it's just not even close at this point.
And you know what he did a couple weeks ago on Twitter? He put out a tweet. He said, "What did you do to add to your legacy today?" Because the way that KD views himself and his legacy, he came out of Maryland playing basketball and turned himself into a billionaire. KD is actually going to be a billionaire before he retires from the NBA. So he looks at things differently than us. I don't know what it's like to have money like that. I don't know what it's like to have so much money and so much skill at something that you feel like you're a god and you don't care about perception. Like that must be some rare air, some rare freedom to not care. Like, I think I'm pretty good at not caring what people say, but of course I'm listening. Of course, he's moving in a way where he does not care what his own fans think about him, what the media thinks about him. At a moment's notice, he can change with the wind and decide, I don't want to be here anymore.
But if you compare him to LeBron, or LeBron's already a billionaire, I think.
He does not care about comparisons. Like, he's not into all that. You can tell. He's such a hooper. He cares about the game. Go ahead and compare him to LeBron or Steph or whoever else. I had a show where I was saying, hey, this guy could be considered one of the GOATs if he wins in Brooklyn, not if he ducks the smoke and ducks the grind and does nothing ever in Brooklyn. And I think it's a wrap. He got swept by the Celtics. It is what it is, bros. Some people don't want to be here. Hey, if you're not happy, go be happy where you want to be. Keith McPherson on the Fan. That's my last show of the week. Appreciate y'all. You can follow me at Keith McPherson online. Hit me up. I'll be back on Monday. I got to go up to Connecticut to play with Bernie Williams and Mariano Rivera in the celebrity softball game. Emmanuel Babari is next. Keep it locked right here. Call him up. Keep the conversation going. The Mets are back facing the Phillies later tonight. The Yankees are back facing the Red Sox. Let's get some wins. Let's keep it going. The Jets are on too. Awesome. Sports, baby.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Protect your vehicle. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.